everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. With me, as usual, my cohort in crime, the Retro Witch.
Yeah.
Miss Stephanie Bree. Steph, how the hell are you?
I'm happy because we made it to episode 12. 12 is my favorite number, and my online gamer tag is SegaGamer12. Woohoo!
So many layers there. Just like everything else you do, so many layers.
I like cake.
Cake does not have layers.
Layer cake does. Cheesecake does. And...
Okay, touche. Touche, you win that one.
All right.
That's the only one you're winning today.
How has your week been, Robin?
My week's been A-okay, you know?
It's only Monday.
It's only Monday.
That's not so bad, though.
I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And
yesterday was Easter. That was fun.
That was fun.
We got to watch a movie. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
I didn't say you weren't allowed to talk about it. I just said you better only say good things about it.
Well, I will say that I saw a post on Twitter that said, because it came out on Trans Day of Visibility, that means one of them is trans.
No.
I'm rooting for the Kong. I think he's one of us.
No.
Or she. Or
no.
They. They're one of us.
You ruin my movies. You really do. You ruin them. So, no, this weekend we watched Godzilla vs. Kong.
It was fun.
It was fun. Stephanie constantly made fun of the film by asking...
I said, when is this power sword going to fall from the sky or the Megazord?
I can't say much about the movie because I don't like to give spoilers.
I know.
But it was very good. I enjoyed it. I was very happy with it. There was some characters in there that I had been hoping for and watching for how they were going to put them in there. Mm-hmm. The characters themselves in the original stuff, in the original Godzilla films, the character was kind of hokey. But I was really impressed with how I don't want to give it away.
No, let's not talk about it.
I don't want to give it away, but the character was hokey, but not so over the top. Hokey.
My favorite part was when I compared it to Power Rangers and she says, X, which I'm not going to say, and then they turned around and then she's like, damn it! Because that was Ruben right!
No!
But
then after watching it again today...
Without me.
Without her, that way I can actually enjoy the damn movie.
Oi! Feelings hurt.
I have to point out things that... yeah, your argument became invalid after
all
that.
All right, fine.
So, but that's what we did the past week. Of course, last week was the birthday week celebration for me,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun. We did lots of cool stuff.
I got to meet her friends. Her guy friends. She won't introduce me to her gay friends. I'm still pissed about that. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, number one, I have to have gay friends.
Oh, I've got a few.
I don't
maybe
have
I need
any...
to introduce you to mine.
I don't have any gay friends.
I got to introduce you
I just
mine.
Have friends.
Oh, okay. Well,
how's,
that's good.
How's that? I just have friends.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. So we just had a really good week. Nothing really good or bad. You know, I'm kind of freaking out for tomorrow.
Well, there was one thing, but we'll talk about it later.
Oh, yeah, well.
Very special.
I'm totally lost.
It's one of our fucking topics.
Oh, that thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I forget.
No, I think this probably ought to call for a boo, but okay.
All right. Simmer down there, Twitterverse.
Okay, but something extra special happened on this episode, too.
Yes.
Oh my god. How much booze have you had?
today.
Hi.
Just a little.
Okay, good.
Just a little.
I was going to say, it's either that or that movie numbed your brain.
I don't know. I could be a little column A, a little column B.
There we go.
Yes, we have a lot of really good topics today, and we have a special...
Amazing.
Absolutely wonderful guest with us today. Mm-hmm. We've got an interview with our good friend Sebastian of The Blibbles.
Yep.
Twitch streamer and LGBTQ, I'm not going to go on the all the letters because then I'm going to get tired, but he's part of our community, not the trans community, the bigger one.
And for those of you who are millennials or older, he gave us the 411.
Yes, because apparently Steph and I are old.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Speak for yourself, sister. Anyway, we got a lot of topics we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about the Trans Day of Visibility.
Yes. Very exciting.
Very exciting day. We're going to answer some questions.
Mm-hmm. Our very first sort of Q&A.
Kind of Q&A, but this is more just questions that are commonly asked to trans people.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be anybody, not necessarily questions that Stephanie and I have been asked.
Yep. And we also went to the Twitterverse.
And we went to the Twitterverse again. We go to the Twitterverse a lot.
Yeah, because Facebook is a barren wasteland. No offense.
Well, that Twitter makes my job so much easier. I don't have to think. They just go, hey, how about this? And I'm like, sure, let's do that. That sounds great. Yes,
we love you guys on the Twitter.
We do. We love all of you. So why don't we jump in? Why don't we talk about the Day of Visibility?
Trans Day of Visibility happened last week.
It was last week, yep.
It was the last day of Women's Day, I believe, or Women's History Day. How does that work? Women's History?
No, it was the last history day of the month.
Women's History Month. Yeah, Women's. Something like that.
Women's History Month.
There we go. Can I go first?
Go.
All right. So first of all, I had a really great Trans Day Visibility. First, one of my coworkers, I work in a medical lab, and I'm sort of a healthcare worker. I'm classified as a healthcare worker, which is great. It's much more better than being a journalist, especially in these times. And so my coworker took a picture of me at my station doing my thing, test, putting in the information for y'all's tests to keep you safe. And I posted it to the Twitter for my celebration and Trans Day of Visibility. Just kind of a little, hey, we're normal people too. And but later that day, I got a phone call from my mom, which is always nice. My mom, she's been trying real hard. She has, but she's been kind of falling short a little bit. And she keeps telling me, we're going to keep calling you X because, that's, you're my son, blah, 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 and all this other stuff and, religious things, whatever. Well, finally, on my lunch break, sitting in my car, first of all, she apologized for dead naming me all those times. Second of all, she called me Stephanie 3 times in the conversation. And then we had a really sweet conversation about makeup. And she even invited me to check out her Avon page, and she gave me advice, actual mother-daughter makeup advice. It Yay! Was so nice. I had my very first mother-daughter moment with my mom. Not, yes. Woo! It was so sweet. It was so fun. And then also Sunday was Easter Sunday, which didn't go as I planned, but I got a great nap out of it. So even better. Oh, I was so exhausted.
Well, yes, Easter did have a really great nap. Huh?
Hey. No spoilers. I wasn't there for that.
Thank God.
Yes, please. Thank you.
That would have just been weird.
Yes. Yep. Anyways, so I had a... But go ahead and tell them what Trans Day of Visibility is and why we think it's important.
All right. So Trans Day of Visibility is that exactly what it sounds like. It's a day for the trans community to basically, through social media, parades. With the pandemic, we haven't really been able to do a whole lot of, in-person social events. But there have been in the past. I did find that out, that there were a few.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a way for our community. And when I say our community, I mean specifically the transgender community,
mm-hmm.
to show solidarity, to show that we exist, and
to demonstrate that we're just normal people.
We're normal, everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
We just happen to have a difference in feeling of one gender to what we have genetically.
And I think overall, I saw a lot of people who posted that with everything going on, because there's a lot of legislative attacks on trans rights going throughout this country right now. And a lot of trans people I saw said things to the effect of, maybe we need a Trans Invisibility Day.
I saw a lot of that too, and I think that's a terrible idea.
We had a really rough law that was passed in a fairly red state. But then today, good news, sort of, the governor vetoed said law. So the fight's not won, but we won the first battle.
We won a battle, I should say. This is not the first battle. Let's make that clear. We've been battling for the right to be who we are for a very,
but this
very
was a particularly despicable, and I don't want to go into it, but it was a despicable law that it came out during Trans Day Visibility Week, and because it's attacking children, and that's just disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, this, what this whole, I don't know, you would call it event? It's not really a holiday.
No, it's more like, well, Biden didn't sign a declaration, though. Oh. Not making it a holiday, but making it known.
An official day.
Yeah.
So, a government shutdown day.
That would have been nice.
You're welcome, government. So, the whole point of it is just to show...
What are our colors? I was going to say wave the flag, but I don't know what our colors are. They're blue and cyan, right?
Or no, they're pink, and cyan. Blue, and white.
Oh, I thought there was cyan.
You have five stripes.
Mm-hmm.
You have a top and a bottom blue stripe. That's a light blue. The next two are pink,
mm-hmm.
a light pink, almost a powder pink, and then you have a white stripe in the middle.
Okay.
And that's our flag.
Well, okay.
You know, the one our logo is on.
Well, I know, but for some reason I thought it was cyan.
No.
It's just light blue.
It's light blue.
Huh. Okay.
Light blue. So,
she's colorblind, by the way, so I'm probably right.
I'm not colorblind. I'm just regular blind.
Oh, sorry. I'm being a bitch.
I can still see color. I just can't see everything else.
Oh, okay.
Including color. Wait, no.
See, I win by proxy.
No, you don't. Anyway, so the Trans Day of Visibility, I think... Like you said, there's a lot of legislation going on
mm-hmm.
right now. And it's targeting things such as trans athletes in sports, which bathrooms trans individuals can use, access to health care.
Not just the one that was vetoed, but also the same governor did sign a law that makes it to where doctors can... deny trans adults health care too on religious grounds or whatever
right.
the argument is.
Which is
that one will have to go to the court.
Yeah.
Well, they might all end up going to court. But
they probably all will. Anyway, but there's all this legislation coming up that is affecting the trans community. But that's not just the only problem we've got. We've also got a problem within the LGBTQ community.
Yeah,
and
this came to light last week.
Pretty heavily. We're not going to go really deep into this. In fact, our special guest today, Blibbles, is going to come on here, and we're going to kind of dive a little more into it. But the basics of it are very simple, that the LGBT community, and you notice I stopped at T.
Mm-hmm.
The LGB community, part of our community, is divided.
Very much.
And the division is growing more and more visible every day. Where that division comes from, we don't really know. But it's very strange. And it's the argument of whether or not in that umbrella of LGBT... Q plus, you know, do transgender people even belong? And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big problem. And so to me, what makes this thing, makes the Day of Visibility so important is as the trans community. Now, if you've talked to me at all or listened to this show, you know I am a huge proponent. That means I'm all for.
Mm-hmm.
A strong, fairly separate transgender community. That doesn't mean we can't be part of the LGBTQ community, but the trans community needs to be solid, and we need to be unified and come together.
Not just amongst ourselves, but with our gay, lesbian, and bisexual, and everyone else.
Well, that's where I'm getting. I'm I'm saying we do need a solid community without being mm-hmm. under that umbrella. Right. And the reason for that is when we have a really solid, unified trans community, that will make fostering relations between our gay, lesbian, bi, non-binary, whatever the letter is that is part of that LGBTQ plus community, it will make that entire group stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting there. The gay and lesbian communities, and even seeing a little bit in the bisexual and the non-binary communities, they're starting to clump together very solid. Yes, they're all part of the big LGBT, but they're also very solid mm-hmm. independent groups.
And one thing I noticed, there were a lot of gay men in particular saying that they're, and a lot of them had this tag in there somewhere in their Twitter or somewhere, and they said that they're, quote, gay, not queer. And I didn't understand where that was coming from. And one of the things I found out is there, and we're not going to go into the specifics, but there's a movement out there. There's people out there that are trying to divide the LGBT community, not just separate us into our own thing, like what Robin's talking about, but put a wedge between us so that there's no cohesive unity between us.
Right. By
and
that,
that's not what we're advocating for. We want to be able to celebrate transness as trans, and then celebrate gayness as gay and everything else, but still have our own thing, and then also still cooperate with one another.
Exactly. What Stephanie's talking about is they want to divide. Basically, they want to put animosity. They want the lesbians hating the gays, and the gays hating the trans hating both of them,
mm-hmm.
and then the non-binaries hating the bisexuals, and the bisexuals feeling left out because
mess.
They usually are. It's just, it is a huge mess.
I saw a lot of LGB but not T. Or
right.
without, or they would say LGB without the T, or minus the T, things like that.
Yeah, and that's just bad. I mean, that can't be good when the end goal of everything is to be a united humanity.
And we're not out to erase trans or lesbians or cisgendered women. We want to be in your umbrella. We want to be women. I mean, yes, cisgendered lesbians are different than cisgendered hetero women.
Yep.
But they're still women.
Yep.
Trans women are different than the both of those, but we're still women.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, look, we recognize there are at least three, possibly four categories of women. The fourth being non-binary, in case you lost count.
Right.
We're not saying that, well, now that trans exists, the other two or three can't exist. The same way with non-binary. I don't feel personally threatened by non-binary. I have a couple of non-binary. I have one non-binary friend and one genderqueer friend, which to me seems like they're very similar. And I don't want to like step on any toes, because I've asked each of them to describe how they feel, and they've given me basically the same description. But I go with it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna let people decide for themselves how they identify.
Yeah, and I think the day of visibility is so important to us. Just because, let's face it, what does the trans community want more than anything? We want to be quote unquote normal.
Right.
And it's not that we want to fit into whatever norm, whatever
right.
social normal
equal
that the world has created. We want our existence to be part of the normal. That, you know, when someone goes, oh, you're trans, oh, well, that's no big deal. Not like it is now, where people gawk at you and
right. And I want to point out, and this is for our gay listeners, this is for those of you who are in the gay community but not trans, or even if you are trans but you're unsure, however you identify, we recognize that trans rights wouldn't have existed if the gay rights movement hadn't come first, because without gay marriage there's no trans marriage, because trans people aren't even recognized legally without at least acknowledging that, because we're in a different type of legal limbo. So we can't even get to the point where we can fight for our rights until you guys already won the rights you won for us. So kudos to y'all. Thank you. And we were very supportive. It's the same with the non-binary people. They're the next.
Yeah.
Their legal status is even more complicated than ours. And if trans people don't win the fights we're fighting now, their non-binaries are going to have an even tougher time down the road.
Absolutely. That's all it is we have to be... We have to be supportive of each other,
mm-hmm.
but things like the Day of Visibility make it so that not just the LGBT community and not just the trans community, but the entire global community, the entire world sees that, number one, trans people are not as different as anybody else. And quite honestly, there's more of us than you think.
Right. And another thing it does is it normalizes us in the sense that you get to see that we're just regular people. Like, a lot of people, the only exposure they have to trans people is what they see on TV, which is very wrong, usually.
Usually.
Very exaggerated. Or what they see on Twitter, which is more inclusive, but it's also exaggerated to a point because it's us sharing within our own community. And sometimes we do get a little offbeat.
Offbeat?
I don't know
that's where we're going with that.
I'm trying to keep this PG-13.
Oh no, I've read the Twitter. You've been you have gotten in trouble because of your Twitter, young lady.
How?
Okay, I have yelled at you more than once for it.
We're not gonna bring up the we're not gonna bring up the rubber boob incident. No.
We're still talking, and that's a whole nother subject for another day. But trans Twitter being a little overly free.
Yeah, well, it's being extra supportive amongst ourselves, but then also being, again, it's letting people see us as what, not as caricatures of women. We don't want people to think that, like, you know, we're all just drag queens, you know, or whatever. Not that we're saying there's anything wrong with drag. It's just that's a totally different thing.
No, drag is not
trans, but there's a lot of people who equate the two as the same thing.
Right. That goes back to that whole a lot of people who do not understand transgenderism going, well, it's just you're a man wearing a dress. That, mm-hmm.
First of all, Robin don't wear dresses, y'all.
I got one now.
Yeah.
Got one. But no, you're right. I don't wear dresses.
I do.
Almost exclusive. Well, but you've changed your style a bit, Lisa.
Yeah. I wear some skirts. I got some shorts. They're short shorts, though. Kind of short. Not too short. That last pair I wore yesterday was awfully short.
They were pretty short.
They were fun, though.
Well, yeah.
Cute. I should say cute.
Good thing you didn't go out. I'm just kidding.
Hey. I did go out, sort of, on the YouTube, so check out my YouTube videos I did.
Yeah.
They'll be online this week.
But back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Trans Day of Visibility, it really is important. Not just to the trans community, but to the LGBTQ community, because once we start showing our solidarity, the things we can do with that solidarity is we can stop this anti-trans legislation.
Yes. We were very vocal last week, and the governor paid attention and he vetoed the bill. Days after he signed a similarly harmful bill.
But let's just say
we were noticed.
We're not surprised.
Right. No, we were noticed.
Yeah.
And changed. Now, it was a small gesture, and there's debate going on about what it means, but at least we made a little progress.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's what we need to do. We need to be seen.
Yes. You know? And we just need to keep going.
One of the things I was talking about advocacy, and I was talking with one of my gay friends, and they pointed out, they said, just us doing our podcast is advocacy, because we're making trans people more visible, and we're sharing our stories and putting that out there, and that's going to help people be better advocates and better allies. And by the way, if you're listening to the show and you're not trans, we want you listening to the show too. We want our allies coming here and understanding how you can be a better ally to your trans friends and family.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Slightly distracted.
Mm-hmm. We got kitty cat on the table.
God damn it, Bismarck. And just messed up all my notes. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. You butt licker.
And the Chaos Queen is loving it.
That's all right. He's he thinks he's a podcaster now.
When my cat interrupted the show, she threatened my life. I'm just kidding.
I do not recall that ever happening.
Okay.
Then again, I can't say that it didn't.
It may have been a dream. I hold people accountable for the things they do in my dreams.
Oh, well. Okay.
In that case, somebody did something very bad in my dream last night. I won't go into the deets.
Well, yeah, let's not go into that. So, one other thing I think is important, too, is if we start showing... this is something I just recently thought about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the Day of Trans Visibility and how it can help with anti-trans legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But it has another effect on something I don't think anybody really has mentioned. If we start showing how many of us there really are and start showing that we are not afraid to be ourselves, I think that might help with anti-trans violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still a lot of that. Now, right now, the big thing is violence against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders,
mm-hmm.
which violence against any group just because they are group A
mm-hmm.
is dumb.
And unacceptable.
Unacceptable and just should not be tolerated.
No.
You know, that's just... It's so bad that you can't get past that.
There's literally no legitimate reason on this earth to hate another human being unless their name is Donald J. Trump.
Wow, way to cross that line.
I'm just kidding.
I was going to avoid all that shit.
Oh, there we go. Happy days.
Oh, dear God. Bismarck, please don't touch that button.
But she is right. It's not just about the community. It's about making people around us who are afraid of us not so afraid of us.
Right.
You know, yeah, there are guys out there that are afraid of women with a penis. And, you know, that's in a way almost understandable. I'm going to say, you know, not everybody's bisexual. Not everybody's pansexual. Some people are legitimately locked into a specific orientation and they're perfectly okay with their gender. We have no problem with those people. I'm okay with that. If that's what you are, great. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
So long as you're happy for me not being aligned with those things.
Exactly. Some of my best friends are straight.
Yeah, no, I forgive them, though. They didn't know any better.
Oh, by the way, she's all upset because she was trying to be an incorrigible flirt.
What?
And forgot.
What?
That at my birthday celebration, two of them were married.
I did not flirt with your married guy friends.
I know. You were just trying to be a flirt.
I was not. I was trying to fit in with the clowns that you introduced me to.
There's a difference between being a flirt and flirting, sweetie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know. I was paying attention.
I'm a woman in a room full of guys. I have to be present and visible.
Again.
My hormones took over, so sue me. Boy, I was really on the estrogen that day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was riding high. It was fun,
yes,
though.
And for those who are keeping score at home, later in the week, I completely deflated all that ego she had about how
ego.
Brave she was.
Well, no, we're not telling the story. No, 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 no. We're not telling the story yet.
I'm not
Save
telling
the sex
story.
Episode. Save it
I'm
for
not
the sex
telling
episode.
The story. I'm
Good.
Just saying
no.
I deflated it.
No, stop it. You're making
I
me...
put an end to it.
Stop it. Change the subject, please, fast. We're just going to say there was an incident and she won a big battle.
Because, you know, I always defeated. Get what I want. Just ask AJ.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's true.
That's true. She has me in her life inseparable.
Okay, maybe I don't get everything I want.
And the funny thing is, she didn't know this when I was hiring her to take my picture for a Christmas card that I was going to be her life mate forever.
Oh, God. This all started with a photograph. Oh my god. Photography killed me.
Yay. Hey. Stephanie wins again.
Bismarck says no.
Oh, that's okay. I'll give him a hug later and he'll forgive me.
If you don't cut your face off. So, yeah, we definitely need to have this Trans Day of Visibility. Mm-hmm. Now, Stephanie talked about what she did.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what I did on mine?
Took a nap?
Yeah. I didn't even get on Twitter.
Ah, I noticed.
That was about it. I was like, oh, yay.
She didn't even thumbs up on my live stream.
Nope. I was lazy.
That's okay. You're allowed. You're entitled.
Yeah. Sometimes the brain don't work so well, and everybody who's listening to the show knows why.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know all the stuff. That's why I'm... Hopefully this show's a little better than our previous shows, because I will admit right now I'm a little anxious.
Uh-oh. So, good or bad?
I don't like needles.
Uh-oh.
So, and that's what tomorrow is, so...
Ooh, boy.
But, yeah, so the community as a whole.
Yes.
We've got to show solidarity. Right?
Yes.
The trans community needs to be strong. One of our things that we as trans people need to do is educate those in the LGBTQ community. Because it's, what's amazing is how little some of those mm-hmm. individual groups actually know about trans people.
And it goes the other way too. I mean, I'm trans and I have gay and lesbian friends, but I still like, I'm not fluent in gay. I speak it like as a second language, but I'm very pre-kindergarten.
Okay. That's a good analogy. Does that mean I'm a little more?
I don't know.
A little higher in that? I guess on that one, I mean, we already talk about what I'm a PhD in. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be, I would probably have, what, a high school diploma? Probably.
Eh.
Eh. I mean...
She speaks the language, and I just bumble my way through it.
That's true. But sometimes you live that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you learn it. So, yeah. So, we need to educate. And what better way to educate than to include members of those other communities?
Into our world.
Exactly. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do. I'm excited.
I am too. This is going to be great.
And I hope you're listening, our dear, awesome guest, please.
I hope you are too, because, yeah, in case anybody didn't realize, we record the show, then upload it. This is not live.
No.
Though, I keep thinking one of these days.
We will do a live show on location.
A live one sounds like fun.
I'll make it happen.
I will let us drink during that one.
Oh, yes, 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 please.
Because I think that's just going to be awesome.
Of course.
So, yeah, so we're going to get into having our guest. So stand by as we get him ready and say hello to Sebastian, also known as Blibbles.
Yay.
Hang on. We got to push the button. All right, everybody. We have a very special guest on our show today. A good friend of our show and a member of the LGBTQ plus community.
And an amazing artist, by the way.
And very amazing artist. We have Blibbles with us. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, I'm still new to all of this, but thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm Blibbles. You can find me on Twitch. My name is The Blibbles on there because someone actually took my name.
Well,
let me call myself Blibbles.
It happens.
Well, we're glad to have you on our show. First off, no pressure. You're the actual first interviewed guest for the Transpose podcast. Sorry.
Yay. So
there we go. Let's get that going. A little cheers for Blibbles. So,
and I won't even ask to do the baby voice this time.
We're not. Oh, girl. Oh. So we're gonna talk a little bit today, because you've got a very interesting perspective as a gay man. on the gay community's view on trans individuals. So why don't you start us off there, Blibbles, and give us your view?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a unique one, but it's something that is often like that is often seen within, like, specifically amongst gay men. Something that I've noticed or that things have been happening is that when people talk about the LGBTQIA plus community, people usually refer to just the G part, the gay part. And so nothing else really seems to matter. And when you start getting into the stuff about transgender folk, everything starts becoming more and more apparent that they have a lot of stuff rooted in either in misogyny or various forms of sexism. More often than not, gay men like don't really seem to have a very fond view of transgender folk, whether because of, well, let's be honest, the sexual parts.
Right. You know, that it is a little interesting on that. And I think the first thing I want to touch on is how the it's kind of interesting that the misogyny, it's not just the straight white guys that do that.
It isn't. And it's really unfortunate because, like, if you go on to different places like Grindr or Scruff or other places, you'll see a lot of that, like, represented in profiles. They'll just say all kinds of horrible, horrible things about what kind of exclusive people that they're into, beyond just the typical racism and stuff like that. It goes much further. So I don't exactly... It's not an attractive look. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Well, no, it's not. And that's an interesting thing is, you know, whether it be the lesbian, the gay, the bisexual, the trans community, I'm not going to go into all the letters because we'll be here for, you know, 3 days. But it's amazing how each different letter really separates itself, even though we're all kind of grouped into one big group, yet still, even within the gay and even the lesbian community, the transgender community, we're not exactly looked at with very high praise.
No.
Or welcoming.
It's not, and that it's very, very strange because we all have to do with some kind of we're all thought to be on some kind of spectrum, yet it's clear to see how different we really are. And I think one of the things is that we actually should be reaching out to more people and be able to broaden our views, which is why I'm here today, because I still remain largely ignorant of a lot of things. Before I actually like came to see your podcast and stuff like that, I knew about HRT, but I didn't know what it does and know like about those different things. It's difficult because I'm basically painting myself as someone who is still very moronic.
Well, I mean,
it comes with a certain amount of whatchamacallit.
I don't know if I would go with moronic. I think I would say more of like, you're still educating yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still educating myself.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's really, you know, the transgender thing. It really is. Even a lot of us trans individuals, you know, including myself, we're still figuring a lot of stuff out and still learning. So I can definitely see how the rest of the LGBT community can be lost in things such as HRT or GRS and stuff like that.
And one of my questions for you and for other people outside of the trans, and this is just something I've been thinking about, is, you know, we get lumped together by people outside the community. They just lump us all together. We're all the same thing, basically, in their minds. How much do you think we've come together ourselves in solidarity of one another, and how much do you think we're we're just working together because we're forced, we're kind of lumped together. So we're like, hey, you know what? We're just going to help each other because we are all going through the same shit in some way or another.
I think we've actually come, like, despite everything that is still happening and there is still a long way to go, I think we are on the right track in terms of how we are coming together. And largely due to that is like being represented in media and not be, and being seen so often. You have the, you have like different stars who are out there who honestly made like different, different aspects like seem more normal. Not that it isn't normal, but it now feels much more like you're able to see transgender folk in real life. And so we can, and so we, at least I think so,
I agree.
Able to reach out a lot more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that I think has been a huge thing for the trans community. And I can remember back, you know, Stephanie's talked about Ellen mm-hmm. on the show a couple of times and how that suddenly put the lesbian community into the spotlight.
Yes.
And that's the thing is we see in media, in commercials, television. Yeah, there is a lot more representation now for the gay and lesbian community. And we're finally starting to see a little bit of that in the trans community.
Yes, we are. One of them was actually one of, I didn't actually get to see a lot of her because unfortunately I just didn't consume as much media as I wanted to. But one that's most frequently spoken of was Laverne Cox back then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Laverne.
And quite frankly, she as a person is amazing.
Yes, she is. She's an amazingly talented individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you have other people who have their own sets of agendas. And this is just something else that me as a person, I have to address. I'm not much of one for a community just because I have a whole different set of issues that I've had over the years. And they aren't necessarily linked to any kind, like I've been like, I'm trying to divide or anything. It's just something that I've grown up with, but something on an individual level, you have Laverne Cox who fights for their community, but then you have people like Caitlyn Jenner who has her own set of agenda, who has her own agenda and her own truth that she wants to pursue, which is outside of what the community wants, although she does identify with them.
Yeah, that's, I have danced around the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing. If you've listened to several of the episodes, even though Stephanie tried to get me to say
there's
something.
Her and someone else she won't let me talk about, but I will.
And I agree. While, you know, I'm always happy for someone to finally feel comfortable in their own skin and be who they are, whether it's straight, cis, gay, lesbian, trans, whatever. I do feel, you know, Caitlyn Jenner does not exactly bring us a most positive influence to the community.
But that's important to acknowledge, wouldn't you say?
It is. It really is. But it does. And the one good thing I will say about Caitlyn Jenner's story and everything is it definitely brings us a spotlight. Is it the best spotlight? Well, no, but that's where it's on the rest of us, you know, to help show what that spotlight really should be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My question, and this is coming from within the trans community as a trans woman, but also from the people who have asked me, why don't I just be gay? Because, you know, gay people can be feminine. And I want to ask, how do you tell people when you're, you know, because we were talking the other day, you know, you're talking about how you'd like to try dresses and things. Like, I know a lot of gay men who are very effeminate, but they don't identify as trans. How do we explain to people the difference between an effeminate gay person versus a trans person who gender isn't aligned with their genitals?
Oh, God, that's actually really tough because, like, even for me, When I said like I wanted to try on dresses and stuff like that, it was mostly because I just thought it would be pretty. It had nothing to do with necessarily gender. Like I grew up watching a lot of things like Sailor Moon and Cardcaptor Sakura, all those different, like all of those different magical girls. And when they transform, they get these lovely outfits. And it had nothing like, and I remember when I was a kid, I used to be entranced by those transformations, how they just became something so beautiful. Like beauty was just a concept. It wasn't something that was limited to gender. That was what it was for me. And then like Sailor Moon got really, really out of it when they finally reached like the Sailor Star series, where you had another set of Sailor Scouts, three new Sailor Scouts called the Sailor Stars, who, when they were not transformed, they were men. And when they transformed into their sailors, when they were transformed into their guardian forms, they became women. And I didn't know how to interpret that other than it was just them reaching a height of what their perceived power was.
Okay. I mean, as Stephanie...
Well, girl power is a thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Yeah, I mean, I can see how all that's confusing. I think I would be in the same boat. Of course, I'd be in the same boat for a lot of other reasons if I saw some male anime characters and suddenly they're women. I'll be like, wait, what the hell just happened? Am I watching the same program?
And they were cool and stuff like that. Like, they were really powerful. One of them goes out with the main character, Usagi, and I was just like, oh, okay. That's okay. Really progressive.
That's very progressive, you know? But we don't... At the same time, I think stuff like Sailor Moon and things like that, most of society then chalks it up to, man, the Japanese are weird.
And that's so strange. I always thought, like, I think it's so strange because that leads into another problem. It leads into the mindset that something that is inherently not our culture is, or something that is perceived to be weird is just inherently part of someone else's culture and it cannot be adopted whatsoever. It's so alienating.
Yes, it very much is. I mean, that's definitely a big issue. And I think we see that, like, I'm going to use a reference that, like, transgendered women, trans women, mm-hmm. Here in the States, you know, we catch a lot of flack. But yeah. If you go somewhere like Brazil, nobody bats an eye. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's just Nicole being Nicole. And
so I've heard. It's, you know, strange.
Places like that. I mean, my view is, and this is going to kind of get a little semi-crazy political, but is that we see ourselves in this country as almost the pinnacle of civilized. And in all honesty, when you look at places around the world, we may not be as civilized as we think, because we're not as accepting, and a lot of places are more accepting. I have a friend in Germany who the state is sponsoring her transition. And I mean, they go through some of the similar steps we do here in the States, but there's not so much anger and negativity.
No. And I've heard many things like that. Like, a lot of European countries are a lot more civilized than we are. When I talk about a lot of things and my experiences, I talk about myself as an individual. I've actually gone overseas. I actually went to school in England. And while England has its issues, it definitely broadened my view about how people are viewed elsewhere in the world. But we in America tend to compartmentalize a lot of things, because for whatever reason, we seem to be intolerant of the way others can be, and we have very little respect if we cannot relate.
I completely agree with that. I think that is a really good point. Yeah, I know. I think everybody's kind of guilty of that at one point in their life over some for some reason. And mm-hmm. we just all grow to get to that point where we are accepting of more. We get more accepting of things. Sorry. My cats have joined us.
Good. And, bring the cats.
Yes, one of them has decided he will not be quiet anymore, and he is pushing things off the table.
Good.
Me, I love chaos. This is exactly right in my wheelhouse. Hello, Kitty.
Okay.
God.
So I really didn't get to may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So this is actually going to be a little bit more. I may not have heard this on I've only listened to a couple of podcasts, so I'm really, really sorry I didn't get to listen to all of them. But have you already gone over the topic of, like, say, RuPaul?
Not yet. No. I have been dancing around that one.
I have trans friends I talk to online who are not fans of drag. And I'm trying to figure out how to process that myself.
Well, okay. And there are some negative. RuPaul's been caught a couple times being a little unfriendly to mine and Steph's part of the LGBT community.
And I guess that's what I wanted to talk about. So if you do we feel comfortable talking about that, or is that
sure?
Something
let's
you want
go.
To... Okay. Well, yes, I am actually on your side on this one. RuPaul actually has made a lot. Like, how do you feel about RuPaul in general? Let me ask that.
As a individual, I think RuPaul is a really great entertainer. I think Ru can turn it on and just be as over the top and be accepting in mainstream culture. I also think. That I don't know, as I think RuPaul does also try to perpetuate some form of stereotype when it does come to drag queens and things like that.
I'm gonna say this much, because I'm not as familiar with him. I know him from the 90s. He made some appearances in music videos and things. I don't follow his show. I know that he has a show. Or the controversies, but I remember when I was a teenager, I do remember when I was still trying to figure out what it meant to be trans, I wasn't sure if he was one of us or not. And I think that there's a lot of people who are confused. Is he trans? Is he gay? And that causes more confusions on what is trans and what is gay. Where's the line? And I think that's what he does. He does give gender non-conforming people massive visibility, but I think he also causes confusion in the mainstream audiences who maybe aren't as nuanced as we are.
Right. And that's exactly what I was thinking too. Because of the way I think RuPaul is as guilty as what I was talking about before, because he cannot relate, he doesn't understand. So he made things as very simple as he possibly could, and to him it makes sense. So it just doesn't not realizing that there's a whole muddy water of identity that no one can know completely of. Even myself, I don't completely understand, but I do know at the end of the day that it is not my place to understand. It is my place to accept. I've heard RuPaul made like a lot of like very anti-trans comments, and especially to the point where he's made I can't remember their name, but she was a trans drag queen, which that was something I've come to accept as drag to me makes the most sense as an exaggerated form of femininity. It is not becoming a woman. It is parodying the concept of femininity.
I agree with that. Now, you know, I have no issues at all with the community doing drag. In fact, I watched a program. yes, I'm going to plug Disney.
Can't escape the mouse.
Can't escape the mouse. No. That was actually a Jeff Goldblum show. The
and now we
world
owe them $5.
That's right. Now, the world according to Jeff Goldblum. And Jeff actually goes to a drag show. And there is several drag queens. And there is one transgendered individual. And even when Jeff Goldblum's talking to this individual, the drag show itself helped this person realize their issues with their gender identity. But at the same time, they still didn't have the answers as to being trans versus, you know, just being a drag queen. And I also think that while I'm okay with the drag queen community, I do worry that is what most people think of us trans women is, you know, especially for, you know, females to male to females. We're just dudes in dresses trying to be pretty. Yeah. And that's transgenderism is so much deeper than that.
Another thing I've heard, I have a lot of, like I said, I've got gay friends and we see on gay TV, on TV, you always see gay guys portrayed as calling themselves women. Or feminizing themselves, but not necessarily identifying as women. You know, they'll say like girlfriend to each other, things of that nature. Even if they're, you know, they still feel like they're dudes and they're attracted to other dudes. So how does that fit into your perspective?
So I'm okay. So now that makes me question how I talk to people as well, because I usually refer to other, like my roommates in the house. Sometimes I'll call them girl. And stuff like that. Clearly, they're not girls. They don't identify as women or anything, but I'll still do it anyway because I feel like it's just part of my culture at this point. For some reason, I feel like being gay is also like synonymous with femininity, even though that's not clearly the case when you have people waving around that strange bear flag or whatever.
Yeah, that's a little weird, isn't it?
I thought that was really strange. Like you can't have a subsect of, that's a whole different thing. Anyway, I'm getting off track.
That's a whole long discussion that one, I don't know that Stephanie is ready to
have. I mean, you guys keep giving me shit. And it's like, you know what? I grew up in Nevada. We're the only state where you can buy sex. So fuck off.
I have my own sets of problems with the with like the gay community, which is ultimately why I'm not saying I acquit myself. I'm definitely going to be a part of them, but there's just parts of it where I'm just like y'all are too much. But
yeah, I feel that. I I can totally relate to going, okay, y'all just need to turn that down. That's just too much.
When it comes to me talking to other people, like I guess for me, it was trying to normalize the idea that femininity is not inherently a bad thing. And I can call anyone girl. There was a point where because my voice was so high pitched before I got older, that whenever I would go through the drive-thru, at least when I was in Texas, they called me ma'am. Every single time.
Oh, I love my home state. Oh my God. Yes.
This was me at Whataburger. This was McDonald's. This is when I went to any place. Because my voice was so high pitched and I kept using my customer service voice, so to speak, they just kept calling me ma'am. And that's just because I sounded like a woman.
I always got mammed, even when I was trying not to be. So I've come to terms with it. Although I welcome it now.
Oh, yeah. Now that, you know, I
sort of.
I went out to dinner last night, and as we were leaving, the maitre d' said, you know, Thank you, ladies, and I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Here's what I want to say as a trans woman, as someone who agrees with we want to normalize femininity and empower women of all shapes and sizes and ages. I think I appreciate the fact that in the LGBT community we're normalizing her and she and girl versus in the cis normative community it's everyone's generically a man, mankind. Yeah. We're all men, dude, bro. Everything is like. So we're just flipping that upside down. And I think that's good in some ways.
I agree. I think it is good. Now, I don't get as tangled up over phrases like man and dude anymore when I talk to friends, because I even have some cisgendered women that'll look at me and go, dude, let me tell you what I just bought.
Well, I never really thought of dude as a gendered word anyways, but that's because I grew up on Nickelodeon.
Well, that's true. And it was everywhere.
So dude and man were just kind of like say it, what do they call those things? Like they're just forms of expression. They weren't necessarily tied to gender, yeah, but
right.
It somehow that ended up becoming like non-gendered word. I don't know.
They're in English. My linguistics training is going to come in here a little bit. there is a technical term, but in the layman's terms, we call them non-functioning words. They're just filler, you know.
Yeah, well, we don't need to go into that. But
yeah,
the thing that I strived to do and living in my everyday life is whether or not I'm talking to a guy or a girl. And feel free to tell me if this is wrong, but I wanted to make the meaning of gendered words inherently pointless.
I completely agree.
Okay.
I mean, there are some things like, you know, I do think it is important for a trans individual to hear their chosen pronouns. I really do.
That part's important, definitely.
Yeah, because it definitely when you are transitioning from male to female, but everybody calls you sir, buddy, bro, it just pulls you down because you start to doubt yourself. And same vice versa with the trans men.
And this is a question I have out of curiosity. Anyone can answer it if you have an answer, or we can look into it later. But do lesbians do the same thing? Do they refer to each other as dude, men, guy? Are they masculine, or is this like, because you know, like how the gay guys will say girl? Do lesbians refer to themselves as bro, for example?
I don't have any idea on that. I can tell you, since I'm in a, I guess we call it lesbian type relationship with AJ, that we don't, but I don't know.
I don't have a lot of lesbian. I have one lesbian friend who I was really good friends with years and years ago, but I wasn't out of the closet yet. So I was very, you know, like borderline hostile towards her just to keep up appearances. Cause you know,
yeah,
I lived in Idaho. So for what I have experienced, there was I feel like they are like for the handful of like four that I know, they seem to be okay with referring to each other with masculine pronouns in some ways, but they still acknowledge that they are women. And it could just be the way that they talk or the way that they perceive themselves. So I'm not entirely sure how to answer that. I do have one other transgender friend. His name is Leo. And he's actually really, really cool. But he definitely uses a lot of the masculine pronouns, obviously. And I think he wants to be perceived as such, like one of the boys in the sense. So I guess I'm not sure where I'm going with this now.
Well, that's cool. We welcome you into our little circus. We're fine with that.
You have no idea how often that happens when we're recording our show. Like, I just don't have any idea where I'm going with this. Oh, well, moving on. So
here
is
something that I did actually learn about, though. Largely, you'll see a lot of there is a certain perception that, like, transgender folk do get perceived by in movies and stuff like that. One of which I have understood is, like, what's that movie called? It's so famous. It's an Alfred. Is it an Alfred Hitchcock film?
Are you thinking Psycho?
Yeah, it's Psycho. Like, a lot, like, for some reason, all of the villains in these horror films always seem to end up being, like, they're coded to be transgender in some form. And so they are largely made to seem like they have some kind of psychological issue. Like, in the case of Psycho, plot twist, the killer was a guy wearing his wearing a wig to feel like his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
they talk about that in the movie, though. The one of the lawyers says something. I'm not going to quote it, but he questions whether or not the guy is a transsexual, because that's the terminology from the time.
Yes.
And the expert witness says, no, we think he's something else.
Yeah.
So, well, they do. I mean, that's not helpful, but it at least says, this guy's crazy. He's not representative of trans people.
Right. And I do think that the character, you know, as Blibbles is saying here, I do see how that can be, we can see that influencing culture on the fact that, I mean, and we just made some fairly big strides recently with the whole transgender is not a mental illness, but it is sometimes in film and TV portrayed that way, which it's not. And thankfully that stigma's very slowly changing.
And slowly. I would say from my perspective as someone who watches horror movies, I think I don't know anyone who sees Norman as transgender. They saw him as a psychotic, but I do see problematic transgender representation in Buffalo Bill, because that's what a lot of people think a trans person is, a crazy person that just wants to cut up their body.
Yeah, well, I agree on that.
That's the point, though, I guess, in all of this, is that whether or not they address it in the movie and talk about it, the fact that it is shown to be something like it or somewhere close to it, adjacent to it, is what causes that conflict. Like, I actually just watched an entire documentary from Lindsay Ellis about it. Tracing did you guys see that? Sorry, did you ladies see that?
I haven't seen it yet, and you're okay with that. Don't worry, okay. we're not gonna jump through here and strangle you.
No, I wanted to correct myself.
So, and we appreciate that. Yes, no, I haven't seen that quite yet. But I mean, all the points you made there. Yeah, I agree. We have to be more concerned about characters like that, because they do still continue. And there's so many people out there that don't understand. So they see it in film and TV and go, okay, well, they're portraying transgenderism as mental illness, so that must mean anybody who comes out as trans, there's something wrong with them.
And it's unfortunate, because my mother was actually like that. And for a while, I adopted that too, until I got to know some transgender folk later. And it was very interesting and a very humbling experience, because I needed to see that most people just want to have a normal life.
That's it. That's exactly it. That is what it boils down to at the end of the day for all of us in the LGBTQ community. And it's, all we want to do is be happy and live our life with the same respect anybody else has.
Exactly. So, and that is the agenda.
That is the
agenda. Normalcy.
The agenda. Oh, yay! Oh God, it is true.
It's the agenda.
That word would get tossed out there again.
Let's just be honest.
Well, Blibbles, thank you so much.
Yes,
for being on our program. We love what you do. We're looking forward to being on the live stream again once we get that all set up. our first time was, well, for lack of a better term, a shit show. But we got it a little more figured out. Thank you so much for coming on our show. Thank you for promoting our show. For all of our listeners, he is on Twitch at The Blibbles. And you can find him Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Yes. Is that right? Yep, and is there a particular time that you usually do your streaming?
Usually around 8 o'clock. I go for about 2 hours or so.
Okay. So if you haven't checked him out, please go check out his Twitch channel. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, even though he did break my heart over the whole Batman issue.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Oh,
later.
My God. Don't even get me started about Batman.
Before we let you go, I just want to say thank you for being out there doing your thing.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So we're looking forward to being on your live stream here again soon. And hopefully we'll have you on our show again here soon.
Yes, I don't mind coming back. This was actually a lot of fun.
This was great. So thank you for joining us.
All right, well, that was a lot of fun. And speaking of Sailor Moon and superheroes, now we're going to talk about supervillains.
Oh, that's right.
Robin, why don't you tell them what our top five is this week?
It is our weekly top five. Yeah. And once again, we went to the Twitterverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's made my job so much easier. I can't even begin to tell you. This week,
I believe we had a tie.
We did. We had a tie between 80s favorite 80s movies and then the one that actually we've chosen to do, which is favorite female comic book villains. Now, before everybody asks, and well, if you had a tie, how did you choose? It's very simple, folks. We flipped the coin.
Very democratic.
Very. Stephanie said, I want to do this one. And I said, vetoed, we're doing the other one. That's how it works.
Okay, sure.
This is the United States of Robin.
Mm-hmm.
It's my rules. But we're doing our top five favorite female comic book villains. Yes, I have to slow down when I say that. Otherwise, it comes out all weird. Mm-hmm. So let's start off. As we always do, Stephanie, what's your number five?
Before I give you my number five, I have an honorable mention that didn't make the list because I was only allowed to have one tie. So I'm just going to throw out there, Black Arachnia almost made the list but didn't. So I apologize for that, all of you Beast Wars fans. Now, for my number five, my pick is still from the same universe, sort of. It's Baroness from G.I. Joe. But it's more specifically... Well, I mean, it's all versions of Baroness, if you will, but it's specifically from The Rise of Cobra. That is my favorite iteration of the Baroness. And I love that character, that villain, because she is so evil and playful with how evil she is, even though she's really not evil. And she has a lot of fun with it, but she also... It comes together in the end, which I like. I like it when, you know, people are like... They have a reason for their evil, and it's not just, my husband cheated on me.
Yeah? Oh, Jesus. Bismarck, seriously, dude.
But I'd never read any G.I. Joe comic books, but I did watch some of the cartoons, and she was a very prominent character in all of it, in all of the G.I. Joe media. And so in her cartoon appearances, she was a little waffly because a lot of times she came off as, in my observations, kind of like a lovesick puppy who was into the Cobra Commander, but he wasn't into her. But she was usually hanging on Destro's arm, which was weird.
It is weird. That whole dynamic.
She was always hanging off of his arm, but googly eyes at the Cobra Commander, and I was like, that's not even how it works, lady.
Nope, not even close.
But that was my number five.
All right, my number five, since everybody knows my favorite of the comic book, we'll say, universes.
Sure.
Mine comes from, the land of the bat, Gotham City. and Bismarck just destroyed it. Poison Ivy's number 5.
Oh, yay.
And that's a good one. Ivy is, to me, she's not exactly, I mean, she's a female villain. All right. But like almost all of the Bat villains, there's a tragedy to her. She's just a tragic character, and quite honestly, she relates better to plants than she does people, which I can't say that
right here,
I wouldn't be the same way. But yeah, I mean, and villain, you know, she's willing to do things that constitute being a villain or would be considered villainous. But at the same time, her whole goal is to basically save the planet.
Right.
So that's my number 5. What's your number 4?
She's kind of like Captain Planet. She's bad if you're the capitalist who wants to pollute the air.
Well, she's basically she's an evil Captain Planet if you're anything but a plant.
There you go. My number 4, this is my tie. And I put Poison Ivy and Killer Frost in the same position because to me they're very similar characters in some respects. Killer Frost because she's legitimately a good person, but she's just suffers so fucking much. She just gets tired of it. She's just over the life bullied her too many times and she said, "Fuck it, I'm going to be a bad girl." I can kind of relate to that just a little bit, but not too much. But enough to say, yeah, she's pretty cool. Also, I love her frost powers. Her ice. She's a very bad bitch. I put Poison Ivy in the same spot, and I wanted to put her. I couldn't really decide which one I wanted to pick. That's why I put them both in number 4, because for me, Poison Ivy is a lot like what Robin just said. She's out there trying to save the planet. She's not as tragic, I would say, as Killer Frost, but she's still. She's not purely evil. It's just the world around her made her evil.
Yeah,
and I think that's where they're similar.
Yeah, they're very similar.
But my favorite version of Poison Ivy is from the Unmentionable Batman and Robin. Because I love my Uma Thurman. Thank you so very much. Your turn.
Oh, God.
I think the show's over.
Save me. Number 4 is for me is going to be Emma Frost, the White Queen.
Oh, nice. And
I like her. And most of the villains on my list, they kind of have a slight redemptionary bit to them. In her Hellfire Club days, Emma was a bitch.
Oh, yes.
Horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
Just very bad. Used her mutant abilities to basically screw everybody over. And it wasn't until one day she realized that the leader of the Hellfire Club was pretty much using her. This usually happens about the time of the whole Jean Grey joining the Hellfire Club, depending upon the storyline. But yeah, it's once that happens, Emma kind of sees things from a different perspective, and as most people in the X-Men universe learn the hard way, Charles was right. So she's my number 4.
Okay.
What's your number 3?
Number 3 for me is also from the X-Men universe. My number 3 is Mystique, and the reason I love Mystique is, for one, she's a badass villain. She aligns herself with whoever's the most powerful villain at the right time. But then she also joins whoever, you know, when the X-Men are ahead, she aligns herself with the X-Men. She's a chameleon. She's very good at blending in. You don't necessarily always learn her true motives, which is one of the things I like, but my favorite thing about her is I'm a trans woman and she has the ability to be whatever the fuck she wants on the fly. And I admire that. I would love to be able to just snap my fingers and there we go, we're done. And then maybe go back the other direction and try things the other way for a day. I don't know. We'll see. No, I don't. But I would love, you know, but I also like, one of the things I really like about her too is she is not afraid of anything. She's the only mutant that I know that they've depicted her as having no fear of anything. She'll go anywhere. She'll face anyone. She will stand up to anyone. Even though she doesn't have the greatest power, she's not immortal like some of the other mutants. And, you know, they've always, I would say they've been fairly consistent in her portrayal. She's not evil. She's just, we don't really know. But she's evil when she needs to be, and she's good when she needs to be, and she's in between when she needs to be.
A little more of the first than the second.
But she's, well, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I like Mystique.
Mystique, okay. My number three is going to be Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Boy,
our list is just like this close.
I know. It's kind of weird. Harley is just one of those characters that she started off as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And has not just gained popularity, but she's gained, for me, it's not how popular she is, but it's a lot like my, why I like Killer Croc.
Mm-hmm.
Harley's a lot like that for the perspective of she's gained depth. And yeah, she's kind of at this point in her career less villain, more anti-hero. But, I mean, she'll still bash anybody's head in with a baseball bat because guess what? She's just that crazy. You know, and she's not very apologetic about it. You know, she knows she's messed up, but she's genuinely her.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're going to lose some teeth. That means you're going to lose some teeth.
Yep.
So, yeah. So that's my number three. What's your number two?
My number two is also Harley Quinn.
Oh, good
but
Lord.
For different reasons. she climbed my list pretty quickly. She almost made number one, but you'll find out why she didn't. One of the reasons I love Harley is because I started reading X-Men. I started reading comics in the 90s, and I started with X-Men, and then I got into Batman. And I followed that path because of the animated series. X-Men came first, and then Batman. Harley Quinn, like she said, started out in the animated series. And, damn it. So
please don't die on the podcast.
Anyways, no, I won't. I promise. So what I liked about her initially was the fact that here you have someone who is supposed to be helping somebody who's legitimately insane, or at least we think is insane. And then in the process of doing her job, she becomes like him. Now, at first, that there are people who say that was a weakness of hers because she globs onto the Joker and she just can't let go. But I think it was actually a strength of hers because what it really did was it gave her an identity outside of just a doctor who works at Arkham who nobody gives a shit about.
Yeah?
Because she was not taken seriously when she was just whatever, doctor, whatever.
Dr. Quinzel?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know the names. I'm sorry. but, you know, also, she, when she first came out as a villain, she went out of her way to upstage the Joker while also being submissive to him.
Yes.
And then after I guess he broke her heart one too many times, she went and joined our community in a roundabout way.
In a roundabout way. But yes, yeah, Harley's... Yeah, I agree with that.
And I like her because, like you said, she just doesn't give a shit. She does whatever she needs to do, and she just doesn't fucking care. If she's one of those, you know, if you're standing in line at the bank and you cut in front of her, she's probably going to pull out a baseball bat and bash your skull in and then go walk up to the teller and take her money out and, you know, go over to the florist and buy her lover a flower and act like it was just Tuesday.
That's right.
Only it was actually Thursday.
But that works for Harley. That does. Yes. It works.
And she's hot, by the way, if you were going to worry about. They always draw her as like not just like sexy, but like powerful sexy, you know? Like she's a woman who knows who the fuck she is.
Well, and I think they draw that the Bat universe has that a lot of that.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to say like I'm trying to objectify her, but I'm saying like she legitimately taps into her sexuality and not in a bad way.
No.
Like some of the villains that we towed off this list.
Yeah. Okay, so my number two, this is kind of funny because we flipped. My number two is actually Mystique.
Okay.
And the reason I am putting up Mystique that high is basically her selfishness.
Okay.
Now you said
Robin values selfishness.
No. No, that makes a better villain.
Okay.
Okay. The ability to not just leave someone, but to leave pretty much anyone. Now, I will say there is a couple of exceptions within the X-Men universe, Nightcrawler being one that she can't. But she will basically, if it serves her interest, she will toss anybody, including Magneto, to the wolves. I mean, hell, she's done it a couple of times to align herself with Apocalypse. And I'm going to counter your argument if she's not afraid of anybody. She always goes back to Apocalypse. Okay. Yeah, she'll pretty much stab anybody in the back. But as we've pointed out before, you don't do that to Apocalypse.
No.
You really don't.
No.
So, yeah, I think that'd be the only person she'd actually be afraid of. But, yeah, she's just so... She will form relationships. A great example of this is her relationship with Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't give a damn about Rogue at all. She just saw that this girl's powers could benefit her. And she's so self-serving that I think that makes her a little more... That makes her higher up on the table. Now, like I said, there's a couple of exceptions that she can't leave behind, as if, and this is going to get kind of deep in the comic, she never really could leave Nightcrawler behind.
Mm.
And that's because that's her son. So there is that maternal thing. But that's why Mystique, to me, is number two.
Okay.
So now, what's your number one?
Well, like I said, our lists are almost like we just stuck them in a can and shook them up. Because my number one is actually the White Queen.
Okay.
And now, the reason why I put her at the top of the list is because when the whole universe was falling apart, she still pursued her own selfish interests when she unleashed the Dark Phoenix. She didn't care about saving the universe. She was interested in preserving her thing.
Okay.
Saving her ass. Whereas some of these other villains, yeah, they have aligned themselves with more powerful villains, but they usually do so out of necessity. Which the White Queen, she turned things around, not out of necessity, but out of sheer force of will. She just realized she was on the wrong team and then just changed her ways, but she did atone for her sins.
Right.
In her own way. But one other thing I like about White Queen is to me, my favorite X-Men is Jean Grey, and White Queen, Emma Frost, is the inverse of Jean Grey. She's the evil version of Jean Grey.
She's the polar opposite.
Yeah, and that's where I'm so fascinated by her, because even though she does eventually turn good, Jean flips and turns bad, and they kind of go back and forth a little bit. And one of the reasons for that is because they each have the same power, and it is uncontrollable. You can't be a psychic and be connected to everybody around you. And they show this in Torchwood when she gets the ability to read minds, and she goes, she just loses her mind, and she's like, she doesn't want to read minds anymore because she hears what people are saying. She hears the things that people think about her, and it just disgusts her. And that's the burden every psychic bears. And they're both portrayed as having that, you know, that burden of the people around me aren't as supportive as I think they are.
Right. They see through the masks, the veils.
And that's why I love White Queen so much. She's just, she has that. She doesn't buy into the bullshit.
Okay. I mean, yeah. All right. Yeah, I just don't, I see her more, her a little less. And you're right. She does a lot of things that make her, that just serve her purposes. And I think that's something that we see a lot of in comic book villains, especially for my number one. We want to talk about, that is a hallmark of female comic book villain is to be able to do what you want, when you want, only for you. And there is no better example of this than my number one, Catwoman.
Of course.
She bounces back and forth. And yes, she has helped the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the current storyline, she's kind of helping him fight crime. But everything she's ever done and the way she's portrayed and the way she's shown is she does these things for her own gains. She doesn't do it to help Bruce or to help Gotham or to help anybody except Selina Kyle herself. That's, yeah, she cares. While she does care about others, and that, at least this is a more fairly modern take on her. They've started to make her a little more thoughtful, and she's able to form relationships. Every previous version of her, no. She did what she want to get what she wanted, and that was it. Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about Harley owning and tapping into her sexuality as making her, giving her a presence.
Mm-hmm.
There is no better example of that than Catwoman.
Well, Harley's boning the Joker. Catwoman's boning Bruce. So there's a big disconnect.
Catwoman's pretty much boning several people. We don't know. Yeah. But just look at the way the character is.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she's hot. She knows she's attractive. She knows how to use those things. She knows that her sexuality can be used as a tool and as a weapon. And she does it all the time to everybody. Not just like Harley does it, but not as much as, say, Catwoman does.
No, and Harley's driven, I think she's driven by her emotions more than Catwoman.
Absolutely.
Harley, she needs to be loved.
She needs to be loved. She's missing that. Catwoman don't care if you love her.
Nope.
Catwoman don't care if you hate her. Catwoman, flat out, just don't care.
Nope. And I'm not as versed in the comics as Robin, but I've noticed Catwoman will align herself more with Batman as needed than she will with the other girls, because it seems like she doesn't believe in that womanhood, sisterhood thing.
Oh, she totally does not.
So she will pick the man over the other women almost any day of the week. But I don't think it's hormonal. I think it's she knows you can't beat Batman.
Yeah, and that the Bat being Batman brings certain things to a situation. Villains fear him.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are going to be those that they don't necessarily fear the Bat, but they get so angry at the Bat that can be turned against them. And in that chaos, and in that, that's where Catwoman does her best, you know. And I think that's a big big mark of a villain, though. You know, I kind of feel that Catwoman's slowly becoming an anti-hero like Harley. She's not really all that tragic.
No.
She really isn't, as far as Bat villains go. She's not tragic as several others. So,
but she's the oldest of the women, and her story's been rewritten the most.
And it has been. And she had a huge time where she was missing in action. But yeah, she's definitely gonna be my number one.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, to me, that's, I guess it's just how I grew up. I grew up with someone who treated me as something that all I was around for was for their benefit, not for my own. So to me, that makes a good villain.
And I guess for me, I also ranked mine not based on personality. I if you noticed, I ordered them in more so in their power, whereas with Harley, it's her political power, and with White Queen, it's just she has raw untapped power.
That's true, and you're right about the whole.
Because Baroness, she has hardly any power. She's just she knows who to align herself with.
She knows how to align herself, and she kind of knows. She's definitely one of those that gets what she wants when she wants it,
mm-hmm.
and she knows how to do it.
Right.
Through some sort of legal maneuvering or however she needs to do it.
Right.
And I think for comic book villains, for females, I think there's one characteristic that we kind of overlook.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all kind of, as comic book fans, immediately gravitate towards powers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that we don't think about is really how much smarter they are than most of their male counterparts. And it's just kind of a strange thing, you know, that they just seem to be. And even a lot of them, they're not really at a physical disadvantage. Yes, Batman is physically bigger than Harley, but Harley can move.
Mm-hmm.
Harley can move in ways Batman couldn't do if he spent 30 years doing yoga. There's no way. He just can't do it. You know, and that's a real thing that I don't think it's pointed out enough is how intelligent
are you women saying in comics that a woman has an athletic advantage over a man? You're not allowed to do that.
I'm saying a woman has an athletic advantage over a man. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and she's not wrong. Batman is buff as fuck.
He is. He gets his ass kicked
not just by Harley, but even by Catwoman.
And if you look at Batman and he punches someone, yeah, he's so buff he's gonna break their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't always get a hold in a fight on Harley, Catwoman, Ivy. Why? They just move differently. Mm-hmm. And because of the way they can move,
mm-hmm.
it may give them an advantage. In fact, it gives them enough of an advantage that usually they're able to get away. They don't fight Batman to beat Batman. They fight Batman to throw him off long enough so they can get out the window.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think that was a pretty good top five.
We kind of went a little further down the rabbit hole there.
And the reason why I chopped Black Arachnia for Baroness is just because Black Arachnia was one of those, she turned good for the guy. She fell in love with a Maximal, and then she joined his side because even though she didn't believe in his cause, she changed for the man. I don't necessarily support that. That was lazy writing.
I agree.
Because I think she was a legitimately badass Predacon, and they screwed that up. They've redeemed her in some of the later shows. But
a little bit, but I think once we got into the next series, which was just as... I think it was terrible.
Uh-huh.
But that one whole story arc with those two characters was actually... that kind of tugged at the heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, but it takes away from her villainous.
A little bit, but still. So that is going to wrap up our show for this week.
We apologize we didn't get to the Q&A stuff, but we're going to do a better Q&A next week, so we might do
a double Q&A where we're going to do a commonly asked,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe. Now I'm going to say all this. This is all
speculative.
We may not even go down this route because it depends on if we get enough questions.
Right, but we ran out of time.
We ran out of time for this week. So why am I even saying this? Because, well, this is our way of saying, hey, if you're listening to our show, mm-hmm. interact with us on social media.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
That was clever, wasn't it?
Tell them how to get to our social media.
We are on Twitter and Facebook at TransposePod.
Yep.
Just search for us. We're on there.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on not Facebook. Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
TransposePod@gmail.com. You can email us anything, anytime. Well, within exceptions. Keep it clean, folks.
Yes, don't send us your dirty pictures.
No, no please, dirty pics. Nobody wants those. No. So, yeah, please interact with us. We're desperate. We need attention.
Really?
I need attention.
I'm offended. She's not wrong, but I'm still offended.
I don't know about you, but I need validation. There and we go. AJ's not here. Mm. So interact with us. We
you
love
like my
talking
goblin
to y'all.
I drew.
Is that what that is?
I'm gonna post a picture of it on the on our Facebook if you want to see this picture.
Okay.
It's not a I don't know if it's a goblin or a wizard. I can't make up my mind.
I think it's a doodle.
Hey. All right, that's our show. Thank you.
So, thanks. Join us next week. And have a great one.
Yep.
Bye.